Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 19. I'll begin reading in verse number 1, Luke chapter 19. And if you're able, I'd ask that you stand in respect to the Word of God as we read the first 10 verses. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to come pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Father, we thank you for your word this morning that tells us such wonderful news that your Son came to this world there in Bethlehem as a little baby, but grew into manhood. And Lord, was then hung on the cross for our sins on Calvary. Laid in a tomb, but not left there. Raising again the third day, and is even now seated in the heavenlies at your right hand. Father, as we spend a few moments in your word this morning, we just ask that you would bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, this passage of scripture that we read doesn't necessarily seem like much of a Christmas message, or at least a Christmas passage of scripture, as we consider Zacchaeus. Perhaps one of the most beloved of all children's stories. And yet, it answers a question for us. Why did Jesus come? And I think it's a very important question for us to ask, because we know that Jesus, before he came to Bethlehem, was seated on the throne of the universe, on the throne of all creation, that he was the one before whom all the angels bowed and worshiped. He is the one that all worship, true biblical worship, was directed. And here he is now as a baby in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. We've got to ask ourselves the question, why did he do that? And as I mentioned, this passage of Scripture answers that question. Specifically, it answers that question for us in the last verse, verse number 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so right there we're given in a nutshell why Jesus left heaven, turned his back for a time on all the worship of the universe, and came as a lowly baby in a manger of swaddling clothes. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, there's three parts of this verse I want to look at briefly. The first was simply that Jesus came to seek. As we put it into the context of this account of Zacchaeus, this Zacchaeus was a real man living in a real city on a real day, just like today, who had real desires, just like we would have. And his desire this day was to see this one who was so popular among all the Jews. He wanted to see Jesus for himself. Now, we don't know what spurred that interest in him, perhaps other than the popularity of Jesus. But nevertheless, he had that great desire, and so he goes out to see Jesus where Jesus would be walking, but he had the problem of his small stature. In other words, he was quite a short fella. And when he got to the place where Jesus would be passing by, as he got there, he noticed there were great crowds, and he tried to push his way through, but as a publican, Zacchaeus was a man that no one would move aside for. He was a man who was of the lower stratus of society. And so no one would do him a favor or even desire to do him a favor. And so he couldn't get within eyesight of where Jesus would be. And so he got the idea to run on ahead, as the Bible tells us. And he saw a tree, and so he decided to climb up a tree that was near the road that Jesus would then travel under. And he thought, if I just stay here, Jesus will come and I'll be able to see him. And so we might think, as we go through the account of what took place on that day for Zacchaeus, that it was Zacchaeus who found Jesus. But according to verse number 10, it wasn't the case. Jesus came seeking Zacchaeus. And even though we see and read about all that Zacchaeus had done in order to see him, we know that Jesus came that way in order to meet Zacchaeus. That Jesus was the one who initiated their encounter, because Jesus comes to seek. Aren't you glad he sought you one day? I'm glad that Jesus sought me back in 1980 as a young man who was lost in his sin and headed for hell. Because if it was up to me seeking him, I would have never done that. I'm glad he sent an evangelist my way that then encountered the fella that I went to high school with, who then thought of me to call me to introduce me to the evangelist. Jesus does the seeking. You may be here this morning and your story may be more like Zacchaeus's, where you felt a need for God and you sought after him. But rest assured, the Son of Man has come to seek. He sought you out before you even knew of him. We see, secondly, not only did he come to seek, he had a reason for seeking. Jesus, secondly, came to save. He came to save. Now, we read in verse number 9, Jesus declaring the salvation of Zacchaeus. And we might be tempted to believe that the declaration was made as a result of Zacchaeus becoming a very generous man. Because in verse number 8, Zacchaeus, and we don't know how much time takes place before verses 7 and 8, but obviously a period of time had taken place, because now they're not on the street, now they're in his home, and Zacchaeus is standing up at some time in this banquet that he was hosting. He stands up and makes this declaration that he's going to give half of his goods to the poor. And then with what remains to him, he says, if I defrauded any man, I restore him fourfold. Now, Zacchaeus, as a publican, was a tax collector. Tax collectors were very wealthy and yet very hated, because they were Jews who worked for the Roman government, worked for the Roman army that had invaded and was occupying Israel at that time. And so their countrymen hated them. And so the tax collectors didn't think twice about cheating their countrymen. And so when he says, if I have defrauded anyone, if I've taken any man by false accusation, you can bet they began to line up. Because he says, I'll restore him fourfold. It tells you the wealth that Zacchaeus had at that time. But that just went with being a tax collector. But it would be easy to think, because he all of a sudden is a very generous man with his money, that that purchased his home in heaven, purchases eternal salvation. But that's not at all what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is this man's change, him becoming obviously a new creation, is evidence that he has turned his back on his sin, he has turned his back on his religion, and he has received me as his Savior and put all his trust in me for eternal life. What Jesus is saying when he says in verse number 9 that salvation has come to this house, what he's saying is Zacchaeus understood the gospel message. And it's evidenced by what he's done. You see, Jesus came to save. He doesn't want to just seek men out to fellowship with them for a little while. He doesn't want to just reveal himself to them. He wants to reveal himself to you for a purpose. If you're here this morning and you don't know 100% sure you're on your way to heaven, Jesus is seeking you out and he wants to save your soul so that you have a home in heaven and you don't have any question about it. You don't have any doubt about it. You know as sure as you're seated here that one day you'll be seated with him in heaven. Jesus came to seek and to save. He had a purpose for seeking. But we see, thirdly, the object of his seeking and his saving is sinners. Jesus came for sinners. It would have been interesting to have been by the roadside that day when Jesus stopped walking and looked up in the tree. And when he began his dialogue with Zacchaeus, that ended with, I'm going to spend my time at your house. You notice he says, I must abide at thy house. I imagine what the Word of God doesn't record for us, but what probably took place was a ripple that turned into a roar in the crowd as people began to murmur that Jesus obviously does not know who that man is, and if he knew who he was, he certainly wouldn't invite himself over for a meal. I imagine the reaction by the crowd on the roadside that day was very negative. What we have recorded for us in verse number 7 is that they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. For some reason, we believe that God is interested only in those that live a good life, only in those that are religious, only in those that might have something to offer to him. But over and over in the Word of God, he makes it very clear to us that God is interested in all. He's not willing that any should perish. And oftentimes we find himself focusing his attention on the down and out. We find him focusing on those that others have cast off and others have forgotten about and that others wouldn't give the time of day. That's who we find Jesus focusing his attention on. Sinners. Sinners. You see, a righteous person doesn't need salvation if they're righteous in their own eyes. Someone who's living a good life rarely feels that need for salvation because they don't recognize that they have any sin in their life and that there's no separation between them and God. Jesus wants us to know that he has come to seek and to save that which is lost, sinners. If you're here this morning and you're not willing to admit that, yes, I am a sinner, and that my sins are bad enough, even though they may not be as bad as others, they're bad enough to spend an eternity in hell. If you don't understand that, you'll never be saved because you'll never sense a need for salvation. I like to give the average person the benefit of the doubt that they are a good person. Most people are. There's very few people that aren't. There are some, but most are good people. And sometimes those same people would be wondering, well, why would I have to spend an eternity in hell? In our minds and in using our logic, we don't understand that the things we do that God calls sin are worthy of an eternity in hell. I probably shouldn't tip my hat, but tonight we're going to talk about lying. We're going through our study in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, and we're in a verse that deals with lying. Well, we so often think in our society that lying is permissible. I mean, just look at the daily news and how much lying there is in that. God tells us we're supposed to be honest on all accounts. If we want to go to the Ten Commandments, the Bible tells us that we shall not bear false witness against our neighbor. But how many of us lied in the last week. I'd like to think there'd be some that are able to raise their hand and say, I didn't. But we just lie and we shrug our shoulders and we don't think it's that big a deal. But do you realize the Bible tells us all liars shall find their part in the lake of fire? Man's opinion, man's logic, lying isn't all that big a deal. Because oftentimes we lie with good intentions. We lie to spare someone's feelings, or we lie to help someone or to keep someone from out of trouble. But God says, you know what you just did? You made yourself worthy of an eternity in a lake of fire. And if that's the only sin you commit your whole life, and you stood before God in judgment, He would still declare, depart from me, for I never knew you. We've got to realize that we're sinners. That we're sinners of such magnitude that we deserve an eternity in hell. Because if we don't realize that Jesus came for sinners, we really wouldn't understand that Jesus came to save. And then we would fail to recognize that Jesus came to seek me. How about you this morning? Do you know 100% for sure you're on your way to heaven? If you're here this morning and you cannot answer that question with a very confident, yes, I am 100% sure, let me encourage you, when we have the invitation, why don't you just step out of your seat, get my attention, and I'll have someone take the Word of God, and they can show you how you can know for sure. If you're here this morning and you know that as a fact, then praise God for that, and look for someone that you can pray for that needs Christ. Father, we thank you for your Word that tells us why you sent your Son. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Father, I thank you that you sought me, that you saved me, because I was a sinner. Father, I would like to think that's the same sentiments everyone in this room could echo. But Father, if there's even just one, you know who that person is, that has never trusted you and only you for salvation, that doesn't have that confidence. Father, I pray that during the time of invitation, that you would speak to their heart and that they would allow us to take your Word and show them how they can have that assurance. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.